Brothers and sisters, hermanos y hermanas, frères et sœurs, good to see you all this morning. Children, if you are preschool age, you can actually head downstairs to preschool. If you're older than that, you can go get some activity coloring books to help you take notes and pay attention, okay? So kids, you can head out that way. We are, as you heard from Becky, we are with John the Baptist. And we are in this series getting ready for the day of the Lord, this way of connecting from the end of the book of Malachi to the Holy Week, where we see and witness and are in awe of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Last week, we heard from our brother Jason as he moved us from the end of that last series of Malachi and brought us to the word of the Lord calling out through John in the wilderness. We heard the history and the culture leading up to this moment. And we heard Isaiah's words quoted by Luke, inviting us to examine our lives in light of the Lord's coming. And this week, we're going to kind of dial in on that, on repentance. See, repentance and forgiveness is, if you were there around the time of John, out in the wilderness by the River Jordan with a guy wearing some strange clothes is not where you would go to be forgiven. You would actually go to the city of Jerusalem, up to the temple, into the courts where you would meet the priests and you would offer sacrifices and go through these rituals, and by that you would show your repentance. You would be a sign of your repentance, and then you'd be pronounced as forgiven. So why would God's word come to and through a man like John in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? Maybe as we start to talk about wilderness, your mind is running through Scripture, where God makes it a bit of a habit of calling his people into the wilderness and meeting them there. The wilderness is a place where God calls his people to sort out their lives. It's a place where fears and dependencies, lack of trust, and sins are revealed and confronted, and God forces a decision point. Where will you turn? Who will you look to? What is the guiding agenda and values of your life? We heard this in Malachi. When the day of the Lord comes, there will be a refinement of his people. And that time has now come. Wilderness is also a place of renewal. The wilderness is linked to God's salvation, his protection, his doing something new. We see these themes of repentance and renewal especially coming through in the story of Exodus as God rescues his people from slavery in Egypt. And then he leads them out into the wilderness where they are formed into his people. And that time and process in the wilderness with the Lord would reach its fulfillment years later as the Lord would lead them across the Jordan River into the promised land. The wilderness is a place where God calls his people to know him, where God calls his people to get sorted out. And when the wilderness call comes and you encounter the Lord there, God's at work to renew, to do something new. As we heard last week at the beginning of Luke 3, this new thing John heralds has been a long-awaited event. Malachi calls it the day of the Lord. In the Gospels, we know it under a different kind of term, announcing the kingdom of God. You see, the one John is getting his people ready for is the Messiah, the anointed servant whose work and ministry will usher God's reign onto earth as it is in heaven. With the Messiah will come rescue, will come setting things right, an undoing of the death grip of evil and sin on creation. This Messiah that is coming will be Savior, a King. And in some way, though it's not clear quite yet to God's people, it will be like God himself is visiting them. And so when Luke and the other gospel writers introduce us to John in the wilderness with Isaiah's words ringing out, they are not being subtle. It's like a big neon sign flashing with spotlights on it. You can't miss this. It's saying the time is here. It's finally happening. What you've been waiting for is coming to pass. And man, are folks eager for it. So eager, even vipers come out to be baptized. Now, this is strong language John uses. One commentator writes, "This is the most unflattering of terms, the very epitome of evil." And despite John's strong words for these crowds, the crowds come from all over. All sorts of people hear John's words, this voice calling in the wilderness, and they have to be there. Even the brood of vipers, wicked and evil as they may be. What God is doing in his coming to be with us is not just for nice people with their lives together. God's word is so powerful, it can even cut to the heart of the wicked. How are these folks wicked and evil? Well, one way is what Luke does to show us their wickedness. He kind of keeps focusing in on the crowd. We're first told they're a brood of vipers. And what's worse of a brood of vipers, the epitome of evil? Why, tax collectors, of course. Even the tax collectors are there. Man, they've been getting a bad rap for a long time, haven't they? They want to be baptized too. These are folks, tax collectors, who were hired to collect money for Rome, who occupy Israel at the time. So in some ways, they're betraying their people. And then, who else is there? Soldiers. It's not clear if this is in service to Rome, their occupiers, or in the service of Herod, a foreigner, a tyrant who is wicked and cruel, and whose rule is imposed upon Israel by Rome. Either way, they are working for the enemy. There's another way we are invited to see this crowd as a brood of vipers. That is what we become when our lives align not with the Lord and his ways, but with the ways of violence, of force, of sin, of evil, of injustice. Jesus uses this language, same kind of language, in Matthew 23 when he talks to the Pharisees. He calls them a brood of vipers and a whitewashed tombs. That is, they're real pretty on the outside. They look all right, but it's just dead inside. And that's us. No matter how we look on the outside, God looks what's going on in here. And John's words reveal our condition apart from the Lord, outside his kingdom. Some of us need to hear this warning, myself included, of our foolish attempts to dress up how we are perceived, how we manage our reputation, to make sure the masks we put on look good to others, but inside it's just sin and death. And all of us need to hear the incredible power of God's word as it goes out, calling all to repentance and renewal through John. All can come, even vipers, even tax collectors and soldiers, even me and even you. You are invited to come and encounter the Lord through repentance. But this trap of being whitewashed tombs, when we can fall into that too. When we focus all of our energy to project this appearance of righteousness, of goodness, but inside we are just evil. And the scandalous reality of what John is getting people ready for begins with us being confronted with knowing we need a Savior. We need a rescuer. We need forgiveness. And not just a little. Not just a little cleaning up. No, we need a complete whole overall. One time when I was a teenager, I was trying to jump across a ditch. And I tripped. And I fell into the ditch instead. I'm still just as clumsy. But this was a really bad ditch to fall in because based on the way I came out smelling, it was more than just stagnant, muddy water in that ditch. And if I was filthy. Still to this day, I shiver thinking of it. I had to get into the shower. I needed new clothes. All of me had to be sorted out. Could you imagine if I said to my parents, no, listen, I'm just going to wash my face. Or if I said, listen, you don't have to get right down to me. I'll just take off these filthy clothes, the outside of me, and put on clean ones. But underneath, we don't have to worry about that. A brood of vipers. To encounter the Lord is to know that we're a mess. God sees all that I have done, all that I am, and yet I'm welcome to come. Welcome to hear the word of God preparing us for the Lord. Evil as I am, confronted but not rejected, offered repentance. And with it comes forgiveness. Part of the incredible offer of repentance is that it makes forgiveness possible. It's our first step as we join in with what God is doing towards renewal. Repentance is also an incredible offer because it means we don't have to keep going down the same worn pathways of sin and evil and death. These choices and decisions that lead to brokenness and grief. Repentance, do you know what the word repentance means? It means this. I'm heading this way. And I'm now going this way. It's to turn around. And where we are headed apart from God is death and sin and evil. And the awful thing is it doesn't just affect us. It spreads to those around us. And so the beauty of repentance, this incredible offer that it is, it says actually there's a new way you can now live. You don't have to keep going down those same pathways that have led to destruction, that have led to brokenness, that are tearing you up inside, that we can be called to a new way of living. We can stop walking in the ways of abuse and racism, of greed and lust, of addiction, of misogyny. We don't have to keep pushing people away and tearing them down. We don't have to keep being stuck in things like gossip and bitterness or thinking we're better than others or thinking we are of no worth to anyone. The voice of John calling in the wilderness is incredible because it means we can turn from all of that and turn back to God. Repentance is us saying, I don't want to go my own way anymore. I know I'm going the wrong way. I want to turn instead and walk in the way of the Lord. Renewal by repentance. The Lord is coming and a different way of living is open to me and you. The way of the Lord, a good way of peace and joy and life. And repentance is incredible because it's for all of us. Even the worst of the worst, all can hear. All can be moved by the word of God going out to draw people to himself. Soldiers, tax collectors, broods of vipers, sinners like me and like you, John comes with the word of the Lord calling us all to get ready. And repentance is an incredible offer because it reveals a bigger picture. If repentance is our first step towards God and his ways and God's renewal, but it's not the first thing that happens. It's a response. Repentance is called for and entirely appropriate because of the Lord's coming. Because the kingdom of God is being ushered in, then repentance is the appropriate response. One commentator writes this, such a kingdom does not come about through our trying to be better people. Rather, the kingdom comes, making imperative our repentance. But rather, he calls for repentance because the world is being and will be changed by the one whom John knows is to come. So the order isn't, I repent, and then God does something miraculous. The order is, look what God is doing, and it calls me to repent. God is doing this new thing. He is setting all things right. God is coming in his Messiah. God's doing something awesome. He's getting ready to redeem and sort out all that has gone wrong. In the language of Isaiah quoted earlier in Luke 3, mountains and hills are being torn down, valleys are being filled in, crooked ways are being made straight, rough paths are being made smooth because God's coming. It's an anticipation of God's coming. And here's the thing. It's happening whether you and I repent or not. God's kingdom is coming to earth. The Lord is arriving and wants to meet you. And repentance means we can join him. But it has to change the way we live, the way we think, what we value. Repentance is us coming to align ourselves with what God is already doing and what God is all about. That's the repentance John is preaching. It's a turning towards God and what God is doing, and so then we live and act and think differently and accordingly. I want to, maybe an analogy may help. Imagine we have a king in Canada, and imagine our king, King Charles, was coming for a tour around Canada. And part of the royal tour was selecting some homes, some families to come and visit in their home. What would it look like? What would it mean for your home to be chosen for a visit from the royal couple, from our king? I would have to tidy up a bit. I would probably also have to get a security clearance. That's the same idea. This visit is coming and you're invited to take part. But things do need to get sorted out so that we can be the kind of people and the kind of places where we can meet the king and welcome him well. What might it take for you to know that the king of the whole earth is coming, not just for a visit, but to live alongside you, to offer you a new kind of life? How would that change you? What would you need to do to live well in the presence of the king and live well in his kingdom? That's what repentance is about. It also might look like Zacchaeus, a wicked man. How wicked? A tax collector even, who heard that Jesus was coming to town. Jesus, spoiler alert, is the one that John is getting us ready to meet, in case you didn't know. Jesus was coming to town and Zacchaeus wants to see him. And Zacchaeus, being a wee little man, climbs up a sycamore tree to see over the crowds. And then Zacchaeus sees Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus sees Zacchaeus. And he says to him, "Come on down, Zacchaeus. I must go to your home today." And Zacchaeus can hardly believe it. Best day ever. Not for all the other people. They mutter, "How can this Jesus be hanging out with sinners?" But Jesus, the king, brings the kingdom of God. He embodies it. He makes it possible. And Zacchaeus encounters what the Lord is doing, and he changes his life accordingly. He says, look, here and now I give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything," he did, "I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus says to him, "Today's salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." That's repentance, not just feeling bad, a complete and whole change of life. And with repentance comes fruit. Zacchaeus, who once stole and hoarded, will now pay back what he took. And more so, he will give half away of what he has to the poor. He is changed because the Messiah and his kingdom has come into his midst. He was confronted and his sin revealed, but more importantly, in his repentance, his sins are forgiven. And even more than that, he is found in and welcomed in what God is doing. He has been sought and he has been found. He is saved and he is restored. He is repented and now he is renewed because the Lord's day, the kingdom of God, has come into his midst. This is what it looks like when John says produce fruit in keeping with repentance. To John's crowds, this brood of vipers, he says, they want to know what they can do. John says, if you have two shirts, give to the one who has none. If you've got some food, do the same. To the tax collectors, he tells them not to collect more than what is required. To the soldiers, he says, don't extort. Don't use your position to beat and threaten people to benefit yourselves. And don't accuse people falsely. Just be content with your pay. John is calling on all those who want in on what God is doing to make sure their lives are in alignment with who God is. He's saying your lives are going to change. And the repentance will be proved by the fruit of their lives. Will they be like God in his kingdom, generous and charitable? Will they be able to trust what they have is enough so they can share with others because they trust God to provide? Will their livelihoods be based on things like exploitation and corruption? No more, says John. It's about justice now. Instead, it will look like restraint, like honoring people and exercising responsibility well. Because wherever they work, they are going to actually be serving the Messiah King and his kingdom. Now, I'm sure for them, there's more that will need to go on to get sorted in their lives. I know for me that is true. But repentance begins at this radical shift to say, I see what God is doing and I want in. I'm going to have a different outlook, a new direction to my life. I'm now going to walk towards God, with God, instead of away from God. I want us to end thinking of these words of John, calling us to produce fruits worthy of repentance. God's kingdom has come in Jesus. He's our King and our Lord. God's ways and reign are setting things right now. And we, by repentance, are welcomed in. And so as I get ready to prepare for the way of the Lord, for his great day of his arrival, I ask myself, is my repentance bearing fruit or is it just surface level? I ask myself, God's kingdom is here. The Lord is at work. What in my life needs to be turned around towards God's ways? Is it that I'm not content with my pay? Am I using what I have to get ahead and exploit others? Are there places that I have more than enough while someone goes without? This time leading up to Easter, we're taking as a time to prepare. And one of the ways we can prepare is to have this time marked by renewal, by repentance. So what in our life is out of sync with our allegiance to our King and his ways? And more so, what I find really challenging is that this is not just about eliminating sin, but instead learning to learn of and live the holy ways of God. Repentance is not just saying no to sin, it is having all that we are say yes to God and his kingdom. You know, stop stealing like Zacchaeus did is one thing. Paying it all back and giving money to the poor, being generous is another. Ceasing lying is one thing. Being truthful is another. Resisting the allure of the false promise of fame is one thing. Cultivating the kingdom's value of humility is another. Cutting out pornography is one thing. Cultivating habits and attitudes of respect towards all of God's image bearers is another. So as we get ready for the Lord, I pray that we will take to heart John's voice calling in the wilderness for repentance because the King is here. The world is changing to be the kingdom of the Messiah. It's going to happen. And our choice, our decision is, will we align with it or continue in our own way? Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The time is near. God is coming in the great day of the Lord. Amen.